Hi, welcome to another CS76 seminar. My name is Bob Kinney. I'm one of the TFs. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about code signing, running your iOS applications on your hardware devices, and push notifications, and notifications in general. So again, we're going to talk about code signing. We're going to talk about installing applications on the hardware with Xcode for development, and talk about a couple alternative distribution methods. We'll talk about both local and remote or push notifications, and then we'll just have a little wrap-up at the end. So David mentioned a little bit about code signing last Tuesday. It's a way that Apple tries to verify that the code that runs on your iOS device is considered valid. Apple is the ultimate arbiter of what is considered valid. There is an approval process for any application that needs to go through the App Store. So this can take anywhere from up to, I've seen it take 24 hours, and I've seen it take multiple weeks. Excuse me. The signature verification requires three main components. Those three components are the developer identity, a device ID, and an application ID. The developer identity is a key certificate pair that you will generate as part of the process. David will be sending out some instructions eventually on how to get signed up inside of the Extension School program so that you can use that program to sign and install applications on your device. If you have already signed up for the developer program on your own, you can do this by yourself. But if you don't want to splurge and spend that $99 or $299, then you can use the Harvard University one. The device ID is going to be a unique identifier that's unique to each individual iOS device, so whether that be an iPad, an iPhone, or an iPod Touch. The UDIDs you'll eventually give to David to be uploaded to the portal, and they will make sure that those get added. The application ID. So when we were creating applications or new projects in Xcode, you'll remember that we had a project name, and then we had a domain. So there was the edu.harvard or whatever it is that you wanted to describe there. That the combination of those two things is your application ID. And so you create that application ID and store it in the portal, and you have then can set it up to be able to receive push notifications, in-app purchases, and Game Center as of 4.0. You can store wildcards in the portal, and that will be what I believe David will end up doing for the class. But if you have a wildcard app ID, that cannot be used for push notifications, in-app purchase, or Game Center. So if you want to be able to use any of those things, you would need to be able to specify your application ID specifically. So once you have all three of those things, David will or Tommy, whoever, is going to be generating a provisioning profile. And that is, again, created through the portal and is a combination of some number of certificates and some number of UDIDs and then an app ID. And again, that can be a wildcard. The developers or testers will install that profile on the device, and then the code will run if all the things in the profile match the device, match the app, and match the developer who signed the app. So there's two different types of provisioning profiles. One is a development profile, as it is shown in the name. It's used by developers during testing. There's also a distribution profile that's used for what Apple calls ad hoc distribution, and also for release distribution submitting to Apple. Development profiles can be, this will be less important for people who are using the university program, but if you eventually sign up for your own account, this will become more important. Development profiles can be created by any admin, but only the program coordinator, as defined by Apple, will be able to create distribution profiles. So what do you need to actually install apps on your hardware? Goes without saying, obviously, you need a valid iOS device. You need a developer identity certificate, and you will need a provisioning profile. Some of this is a lot more automated, thankfully, in Xcode 4. So you'll hopefully the instructions will have some pointers for how to get your UDID and generate the certificate and download the profile much more easily than it used to be. We can kind of break out here. So once you have been either approved in added to the university program or given your own or signed up for yourself for the program, you will be able to log into the iOS Developer Member Center. I don't know what my passwords are, so I'm going to use my little program here. So as you can see, I am actually still a member of the Harvard University program. I also am part of my own program and another program. So I get this choice of selection of which program I'm going to sign in with. I'm going to sign in with the university one for now, just for everybody can see kind of what they'll see. Actually, it doesn't look like I get to see the provisioning system here because I'm probably just a lowly member. So actually, I will log out. And I'll log in with something where I have a little bit more privileges. All right, so now I can go to the iOS provisioning portal. And you'll see over here that we have, as I was mentioning, basically all of the three things that we were talking about, or four things. We've got certificates, devices, app IDs, and then provisioning. So if I click on certificates, I can see my certificate. Under devices, I can see all the devices that are available in this particular account. And then I can add them, upload them. Under app IDs, I can see all the app IDs that have been configured. You can see here that this is a wildcard cert, and it shows that the push notifications and in-app purchase are unavailable, whereas this one is very specific, and I can configure. I can't configure, but someone could configure certificates for in-app purchase and Game Center push notification. And under provisioning, there are the provisioning profiles that are associated with this account. And if I wanted to, I can download them separately. Xcode has actually already got my credentials, so it automatically downloads these profiles for me. So once you actually have all of that information set up, it's really just a matter of going into the project properties. Build settings, and then you just want to go down to the code signing section. And you can see here that it says it's got a key that matches a profile and the app ID that I'm currently trying to build. So Again, most of this will get automatically set up as part of the process that hopefully David will be sending out instructions for soon. So there'll be a wildcard provisioning profile, and you will be giving him your UDID, and you will be generating your certificate. So after you've had all that information, it will just kind of work. So after you've selected that you sign on signing the device, then you simply just hit run. And then if I switch to, first I have to allow. And you can see that I now have my application running on this iPad. Okay, so back to slides. Notifications. So there are two types of notifications, local and remote or push notifications. Local is generated by the application locally, as it name implies. They can be timed, so you can set them to be set off at some date in the future, or you can initiate them during a background task. Now, there should be an asterisk here because background tasks in iOS are extremely limited. There is not the same flexibility with running background tasks as there is in Android. So there's a caveat here that you can, in fact, fork a process into the background to run in the background, but Apple will, or the iOS operating system will kill it off if it takes too long. Remote push notifications, excuse me. So the push notifications are generated by a push notification provider. This is a separate application that has absolutely nothing to do with your iOS program. It has absolutely nothing to do with Apple. It is something that must be under your control. Your provider sends notifications to Apple, and then Apple figures out where in the world your device is and will actually send the notification to it to then be displayed. So reasons to use notifications. For local notifications, if you have a timed alert, a calendar or alarm, you have a to-do app, for instance, then you could set a deadline for the to-do, and you could schedule the push notification when the deadline was approaching. So for push notifications, there's a little bit more use cases, exchanges of information. So most people with iPhones have, you know, an AIM chat or a Jabber chat client, mail. Google has integration for push mail. You've got generic messenger clients. It can also just indicate a presence of new information that you need to see, a new version of the software, and yes, advertisements. They can be used for evil. For local notifications, your code will create, you need to create a UI local notification object. And that notification object can include a payload, and that can include a badge, a message, and or a sound. If you want to use one of the sounds that's not one of the default Apple sounds, you have to make sure that your sound is included in the app itself, and there are specific requirements for the type of sound that it can be. I believe waves, AIF, and MP3s are definitely not, but that's available in the documentation. You can also choose to have an action button. So by default, all the notifications will have like a cancel button, but you can also have an action button, and you can give that specific text if you want. And we'll talk a little bit more about handling notifications in a bit. So let's take a look at some notifications.
Excuse me.
So I teased a little bit here before when I installed this. So this is a really simple app. It's got a date picker, and it's got a single button that just says schedule. So if I want to schedule a notification for 7:06 p.m., I click schedule, and then if I leave the app and wait for the appropriate amount of time, eventually what I will see is a UI alert view pop up indicating that the alert was fired. Anytime now. It is not to the second, unfortunately. And there it is. And it played a sound, and then we have an alert. So you can see that it says close and view details. So if I click view details, it just relaunches the app. If I click close, it just ignores it. So let's actually take a look at the code real quick for this. Just real briefly, this is just a generic date picker and a UI button. They're hooked up. So the meat of the code is actually in the view controller. And if I go to the schedule action here, see that I create a UI local notification object. I make sure that it's actually valid. I set the fire date, which is the time at which it will actually cause the notification to be fired, based on the date from the picker. And so this property is an NS date, which is what fire date wants. I set the default time zone so that if my device transitions from one time zone to another, the device will take that into account. Alert body is the message that will show up in the body of the alert view, and the alert action is what the secondary button will show. Sound name, again, we use the UI local notification default sound, and I was being cute here and put a badge number of 1337 on the application. So if we actually switch back, so you can see that down here, there's a badge that says 1,337. excuse me. You'll notice actually that if I load the app and then cancel back out, So I loaded the app back up. So I loaded the app, I exited back out, but now my badge is gone. That actually is done by a really simple piece of code in the application. The application did finish launching with options, and I can just set the application icon badge number. So you can set the badge number on your application even without a push notification or a notification of any kind. Okay.
Sorry if this is a dumb question. What are these badge numbers for?
You'll notice that, like, in the mail, so if I go back to... the question was, what do the badge numbers actually mean? They can mean whatever you want them to mean, but some applications use them. So, for instance, if you look at, like, the Mail app, for instance, if you just look at the very bottom here, the Mail app has a one badge next to it. That means that there's one unread message in the account. Yes, it has to be an integer. All right, so as I mentioned, for remote or push notifications, they're generated by a provider. The API is well documented, so if you wanted to completely write your own provider from scratch, you can. There's really no reason to do this when there are a number of freely available push notification servers that are written in common web framework languages. I just gave links here to a couple of applications, one written in Ruby on Rails and the other one in PHP. Doing push notifications requires an additional certificate installed on the provider, and much like there is a development and a distribution profile when you're signing your application, there is also a development and a production certificate that can be configured for push notifications. So in order to actually use push notifications, your application needs to register that it is going to be able to handle them. So you call, you send your application the register for remote notification types message, and you pass that a bit field, and we'll look at the code in a second for that, which is the types of alerts that your application is willing to accept, and that will be alerts, badges, sounds, and I think those are the three main types currently. So when you send that message to the application, it's an asynchronous call. So your delegate, your app delegate, needs to be able to handle two possible scenarios for a return. So the first is did register for remote notifications with device token. That means that the device was able to successfully register itself with Apple to to receive push notifications, and the unique token that can be used to identify that application and that device will be returned. If your registration fails, either because you don't have a network connection or some other reason, then you will have to be able to handle did fail to register for remote notification with error, and that will have an NS error that you can pull out the string and show the results or handle however you choose to. So the provider needs to be able to send notifications with the token and the payload, and below there is an example of a payload so that it has an alert, a badge, a sound, and then keys down in the bottom for this are just additional user information. Any additional fields will be available as an NS dictionary in your notification when it's received. So you can pass additional information as long as it can be constructed in JSON. Hopefully you recognize this format as JSON. All right, so now we'll have a demo. This will not be a demo of push notifications because I did not set up a provider, but I will kind of walk through the process for registering for push notifications. And I think this is the right project. It is awesome. All right. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show you what happens if you try to register for notifications in the simulator. So I'm just going to run this code real quick. And it should happen real fast. You can see I took the time to put up an alert view with the text from the NS error, and it says remote notifications are not supported in the simulator. So the unfortunate reality is that if you ever want to be able to do push notifications, and if you wanted to do push notifications in your student choice, you better have a physical device to test on, because otherwise you're going to be out of luck. So now let's see what happens when I try to run this on my iPad. So it did. All right. So this is something that can happen sometimes if you delete a profile, for instance, because you're trying to make an example of how things can fail. So let me go back to my project settings, build settings. And set it to something that will actually work. And let's try that again. And there it gets installed. Now it's launched. Fortunately, that's hard to read, isn't it? And the Zoom will not work because of the... Excuse me. That's a failure. So hopefully you can at least read part of that. It says no valid APS environment entitlement string found for application. This is an error that I had not actually encountered before. If I zoom, it should actually... Oh. This used to work. Sorry, folks. No? Really?
You need to double click on the bottom button and delete it. On the running apps.
I thought I did that, but apparently I did not. And now I've completely confused it. Come back, iPad. All right. You're back. All right. There we go. Now it's a little easier to read. So this is actually an error that I actually hadn't encountered until I was actually setting up these examples. what that actually that error means is that the provisioning profile used to install the application or to allow the application to be installed was not configured with push notifications. So in order to do this, I'm going to go back to Safari. I'm going to log out of this account because it is not privileged enough. Go to the iOS provisioning profile. Go to my app IDs. So unfortunately, you can't see the whole string here, but this is, in fact, the, or at least this portion after the string here, is edu.harvard and then notifications 02, which is the name of the application that I am testing. So I'm going to configure push notifications. I'm going to enable configure. I did some of this stuff pre-processed. So my certificate request is still here. So I'm being a little hand-wavy here. There was a process where I generated this signing request, and it'll be similar to the process you'll need to go through when you are setting up your own developer identity. I'm not actually going to download the certificate because it's not necessary for the process that I'm going to do, but if I wanted to, I could at this time. And then I'm going to go back and create a new profile. It's going to allow me to do it on my iPad with that particular app ID. And this is usually pretty fast. There it is. Going to download this provisioning profile. Install it. Go back to Xcode. I will need to go back to build settings to make sure that it uses that profile that I just created. And then I will click run again. All right, so now I get to see the notification that if you're an iOS user, you've probably seen a few times before. It's asking me whether or not I want to even allow this application to receive push notifications. I'm actually interested in seeing them, so I will click OK. So again, I implemented just a simple UI alert view, and this big long string here is in fact the token that was generated by Apple for this device and this application. This token needs to get stored on the provider in some way. I leave that up to the developer to decide exactly how that happens. Most applications will store it in a database. But that token is how your provider will actually send push notifications to this device. But unfortunately, as I said, I didn't have time to implement a provider, and I wasn't sure about exactly what the networking was going to be in the building, so I didn't want to rely on that. So we'll move on. All right, handling notifications. So there are three contexts in which a notification will be received. The device is locked, so nothing's on the screen, and you either need to, the slide to unlock screen. The device is unlocked, but the application is not in the foreground or loaded. And then obviously the third case, which is that the device is unlocked and the application is in fact in the foreground. If the application is not running and the user chooses to click the action button, so if you remember when in the first application we showed, there was the view details and that launched the application, then the push notification data is available, or the notification data is available via the did finish launching with options. The application can then load the notification and handle the payload if it needs to, for instance, load a particular mail message or load a particular conversation. So, for instance, the SMS app on your iPhone, when you receive a message from a particular person, when you click view, it loads the conversation with that particular user. If the application is running, the UI application delegate has two methods that handle notifications. One is did receive remote notifications, and one is did receive local notifications. So when the application is running, you don't get the UI alert view by default. So in both of the other contexts, the iOS will actually display an alert, a UI alert over the running application or over the home screen, with the information. In the case where the application is running, you can do some more interesting things. You can do things that you might not want to not display an alert, but perhaps bring the user directly to the view that they are interested in or that you're trying to get them interested in. So for local notifications, the full UI local notification object is available. That gets passed into the delegate. For remote notifications, an NS dictionary, as I mentioned before, with all of the data is available. And we'll show a quick demo of that. I'll actually run this, and this all this stuff is going to be done via local notifications, so we can actually just use the simulator for this. So let's do that. All right. 7:26 p.m. now. I'm going to schedule an alert for 7:27. Well, it's now 7:27, so we'll set it to 7:28. Oh, yep, thank you. I'll click schedule. Stop. Need to really stop the application in order to actually show what I want to show. So now we'll wait. So actually, while we're waiting, we'll just take a quick look at the code. So and did finish launching with options. You can, again, get at the UI local notification object. And this will, in fact, just display a different UI alert view that says that it was launched with the local notification. And hopefully before it turns over to 7:29,
question with about push notifications. If, for example, as this happens often in Boston, in you know a place where you've got no.
Yep, no, it's fine. You can ask the question.
When you've got no coverage, and the push notifications haven't come to you from the server.
Yes.
Do they queue up, or do you only see the latest one?
They do queue up, actually. So I believe there's a method for the provider. So the question was, is if you don't have a network connection and you have push notifications that should be coming to your device but aren't because you don't have a network connection, do they queue up? And by default, they will, in fact, queue up, so you will get multiple push notifications. I believe there is a method for the provider to cancel a push notification, so if they wanted to, they could cancel pending notifications, but more likely they're just going to throw the notifications at Apple, and there is a decay on those, so they will eventually time out. And one of the things that you need to implement in your provider is a feedback service where you check to see whether or not how many notifications weren't delivered and why. The expectation is that if your push notifications are not being delivered, either because the user deleted the application, the user turned off the ability to receive push notifications from that application, or they've left their phone or they dropped it in the sink or whatever it is that they've done, the expectation is that you will remove that token from your store or whatever and stop attempting to send notifications to that token. Again, so we have a close and a view details. I'm going to click view details to launch the application. And it says launch with local application at local notification. My alert fired. Now, also, I believe in this version, I do have a handle for. The running application. And if I can get this scheduled. Again, I have this just, again, displaying an alert view. I could do something more complicated here, but I'm just showing what is possible. So I'm just going to throw up another alert view. And again, I'm just going to wait for the clock. Waiting for the clock is better than waiting for packets over the ether, just from personal experience of trying to debug push notifications. It is one of the most infuriating experiences I've ever experienced as a developer, mostly because my house is a cell dead zone. So again, we've got our UI alert view, and unlike the default one that would come up if the application wasn't loaded, it doesn't have a view details, it just has an OK button. So we'll have one more example. Which will show just a sneak peek of what you can do with additional information. So here we've got a nib file, and you'll notice that on top of the date picker and the button, I've just got a simple text field. Give you one guess as to what that text field is gonna do. Stop it. Really stop it. So that text went into the user info for the notification. So you'll notice that the notification alert that pops up on the home screen does not contain that text. But if I click the view details and launch my application, what I should see is that I launched with local notification, and it says, hi, I'm running a seminar, which was the text that we implemented initially. So let's just take a look at how that is actually implemented. So if I go to my view controller, and I go to my schedule, this is all the same as all of the other examples that I've run through already. But the last one here is that I created an NS dictionary, and I set a key that I know. A more proper example probably would have specified this as a constant so that it would be available to the entire application. I hard-coded a string here, naughty, naughty. And then I stored that local that dictionary inside of my local notification object before I submitted it for scheduling. Then on the application delegate and the did finishing launching with options, after I've pulled out that local notification object, I pull out the alert text by calling an object for key on that user info NS dictionary, again, looking for the message key. And then I just put that as the message of my alert view. All right, so I've gone through all of this. And you don't necessarily want to have to go do all of this by yourself. There are a couple providers that offer some really great services. This is not a paid advertisement. I just happen to think that these two services are pretty cool. The first is Urban Airship. They are a push notification provider. They offer a distinct API from Apple's. So you still need to build an application that talks to Urban Airship that pushes notifications to them, but you no longer have to worry about setting up your own push notification provider that sends those notifications to Apple. They also offer libraries for doing what they call rich push notifications, which is just a fancy way of saying that they'll send a push notification with a HTML or URL to an HTML file so that when the application loads, it gives you a web view with rich text. They also will handle in-app purchases for you. So if you have an app that you want to do in-app purchases for, they will host your downloads. So again, Apple does not host those for you. You have to set those up yourself. And the second one is actually something that JP mentioned to me at some point, and I've actually been using with a couple of projects that I've been working on, which is Test Flight App. And this thing is I think, probably the greatest thing since sliced bread. it does some real magic to allow you to distribute your application to people who have iOS devices that may not be exactly the most technical people in the world. As you'll discover through trying to set this up yourself, it is not exactly the most simple process in the world to install your own applications on your iOS devices. And if you want your mom or your CEO to test your application to give you some feedback, having them try to install the provisioning profile and copy an application to their device is really not going to happen. So the thing that TestFlight will allow you to do is you will be able to upload a bundled application. You will be able to tell people to sign up for the service. They will automatically, when they sign up for the service, they'll automatically upload their device ID to the service. You can then download all of the UDIDs at one time and upload them to Apple, create your provisioning profile, and then you just slap an application up there and people download it and it just installs. So one last thing, as I will just show.
Now, I assume with TestFlight app, that's only gonna work if you have a real developer account.
Correct. Yes. The TestFlight were only, the question was whether or not you need a full developer account for TestFlight. Yes, you need to be able to create an ad hoc distribution, which requires you have a full developer license. So just to give you an idea here, first I will delete this. And so when you register for TestFlight, it will install this little icon on your desktop, which is just a bookmark to the TestFlight website. Launch in Safari. And if this displays at all well, so you can see that I have one application that I have available here called Hangman, which is my naive attempt at actually implementing the problem set that all of you guys are doing. So I'm going to actually click on this, and I'm going to install it. And again, this all happens over the air. My iPad is connected to my laptop right now, but it doesn't need to be. This is all happening over the air, which is really kind of the real magic of TestFlight. And you can see down here, it's installing. And now I have my application. Launch it. And now I've got my Hangman. And it's nice and slow when you press the buttons, because it's hardware. So just a final links, these will obviously be available in the slides that are up on the website now. The text is really small, I understand. Go download the PDF. Hopefully in the PDF they will in fact be clickable. But I just wanted to give you direct links to the notification documentation as it's from Apple. So that first link will take you to the developer guide that has explanations for handling remote notifications, handling local notifications, and the provider API. So if you're, again, interested in developing your own provider, you can do that. Second one is just a direct link to the documentation for the UI local notification object. And then just as a side note, Google is your friend. I'll refrain from linking to other sites that have good documentation, because more often than not, Google will return them as the first results when you start searching for some of these things. So certainly, TFs are more than happy to answer questions, but More often than not, I'll speak for myself anyway, I end up Googling half of the questions anyway, because you guys come up with some really interesting questions. So we are not the be-all, end-all resource. There's lots of great resources out there, and again, Google is your friend. So that's all I have. Obviously, I will take any questions that anybody has at this point, and otherwise we're done. All right, thank you very much.